flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ross down there in the Big Easy, game coming up in 4 days. It really is getting close. Coming up shortly here, what Jason Kelce said it was recently about Mahomes and the Chiefs. Also, Lurie on Sirianni. Some very interesting audio. We'll get to that shortly. Patrick in Tabernacle right now. Good morning, Patrick. Patrick is not there. We go to let's go to Scott in King of Prussia. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, team.
What's up, Scott?
Super excited. I don't know. Everything's kicking in this morning.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
There is nobody.
It has hit you. The immediacy of this thing is upon us.
There's a new, something new in the air, man. I woke up with it today. I got it. There is nobody on earth that can guard Jalen Smith one-on-one. Next. We are going to, Monday after we win this game, there's going to be a new State Farm commercial with Jalen in it and with Saquon in it, and you're going to see Jake wearing green. Next, Eagles win the game 31-24. And coming out of the locker room to start the game,
yep.
Bring us out, Doc. Now, here we go. Come on. Play it. Oh,
it's not working, Scott.
Oh, it's not working.
A misfire.
James, you gotta blow.
I don't remember your song.
You gotta blow the whistle on yourself.
Blow the whistle. Yeah.
All right, Scott.
Blow the whistle is the song.
That's like
the Eagles song.
I gotcha. All right, Scott. Entertaining phone call right there. All right. So the Chiefs obviously pose a great challenge. There's no doubt. One of the things we were talking about earlier today is, are we as a fan base underestimating KC? I believe we are. Now, I'm picking the Eagles, but I noticed that everybody's picking the Eagles. And on a point spread in which Kansas City is favored, it strikes me as I hope we're not falling into that trap of let's pick our team because they're our team. We've done it before. Look, I picked the Eagles primarily, I'll give you three reasons. Offensive line, Eagles. Running back, Saquon. And defense, Eagles. Those are my three main reasons. But I acknowledge the Chiefs very much could win the game. I get a little frustrated sometimes when I hear people say, there's no doubt the Eagles are going to win. Well, no, there is some doubt. I mean, if there's not, I think you're delusional. But, look, it's tricky. Kansas City's great. Jason Kelce was with us, I guess this was last week, I believe, and he talked about the greatness of Mahomes through the prism of, you know, the all-time great quarterbacks. And we had referenced before what you're about to hear, Mahomes and Rodgers and Brady and, you know, some of the all-time greats. He brings it back at the end to Mahomes and Tom Brady. Here's Jason Kelce with us last week.
All these guys are so, so good. And they've all had seasons where maybe one season stacks up better than some of these other quarterbacks.
Yep.
But, you know, I think...
You think Brady's
good? The level of consistency at which Tom and Pat have done it, and the year in, year out winning. I mean, the Chiefs were just in their seventh AFC championship in a row. Yeah. They're going to their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years.
That's right.
Yep.
I mean, what in the hell? That is outrageous. That is an outrageous level of success at the highest level, where you're competing against the best in the world every single year. And I think, you know, now... It's not all Pat, of course. Like, there's Andy Reid over there. There's a great team that they've been able to keep together. And then Spagnuolo coming at the downside of, like, the offense that was the stuff, like, ridiculous numbers.
Yeah.
Has really picked up a lot of slack. But, you know, as far as a guy who finds a way to win, as far as a guy who is continually getting it done, I think those are the only two that I've ever witnessed do it at this consistency, which I think you have to say those are the best two.
All right, that's again, that's Kelsey talking about Brady and Mahomes there at the very end. Jason, we're here in Philly. You're there, down there where the game's going to get played.
Ross.
Ross, who did I say?
You said Jason.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Ross, what is the I want to say general consensus. There's probably not one. What is the, who are people picking down there? The media members, the NFL staffers that you're friends with, who are people picking?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs. Yeah, I think most people are picking the Chiefs. I find this fascinating because I think you guys know on Tuesdays, okay, I do the betting podcast. It's called Even Money, okay? I thought this was the craziest thing I've heard. My co-host is a professional sports bettor. He said, the Eagles have the better team. The Eagles have the better roster, but we all know the Mahomes deal at the end. He's literally, you know what he's betting? He's betting the Eagles to win the statistics. He's betting the Eagles like the over in their statistics, but not for them to actually win the game. Like this is,
no,
I don't ever remember this, right? Where people are like, they're the better team. I'm going to bet on the Eagles to have more yards and more this and that, but I'm not going to bet them to win. He also made a very interesting point that I didn't even think about. Who do you guys think is a better team, the Eagles or the Bills?
I lean toward the Eagles, but I think it's very, very, very close.
I think the Eagles are a better team. I think the Eagles are clearly a better team than the Buffalo Bills. That game, the AFC Championship game, Bills-Chiefs, that closed pick'em. That game was at Arrowhead. So how does the Buffalo Bills at Arrowhead in Kansas City, that game closes a pick'em, and yet on a neutral field, the Eagles are underdogs by a point and a half? Something is off there. Something doesn't make sense because I think the Eagles would be favored over the Bills on a neutral field. So I don't know how that works or why that's the case. But that's not logical. I mean, they're basically saying if you give home, even if you just give home field advantage a 2-point thing, they're basically saying the Buffalo Bills are 3.5 points better than the Philadelphia Eagles. That's not right.
Yeah, I don't think it's right either. The one thing I'll say is I think there's a lot of people nationally this year that thought this was the Bills' year. You heard that from frickin' July. But I agree with you. It is inconsistent, Ross. Let's get to Gary right now in Whitehall. What's going on, Gary?
Eagles! Let's go, Birds!
Let's go, Birds! Well done, Gary.
Listen.
Yes, sir. I always love the transition from like
Psycho Gary to like come. All right, here we are.
You know,
let's
go from
guys.
Like the guy that's WWF
frothing at the mouth.
Yeah, and now you're just a doctor giving a diagnosis. All right, Doc, give us the diagnosis.
Listen, David Slade Goliath. 2017 Eagles took down the dynasty of Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. There's not going to be a three-peat.
By the way, this isn't, you know, the Eagles aren't David. I want to start.
I don't get that.
Yeah, that's not, like, to me, this is.
This is two of the best teams, the two best teams in the NFL going at each other.
Yes, correct.
And the Chiefs just have more experience, obviously, winning the Super Bowl.
Yes, correct again.
This year, the Philadelphia Eagles are dynasty busters. Dynasty busters. It's taking down the Chiefs. It's going to be a close one. It's not going to be a blowout. I don't know where these people think, you know, they're going to win by 15, 20 points. They're out of their mind. But I have a question for Ross.
Go for it, Gary.
Go for it. I'm ready.
Yeah, I need to talk to the PA Hall of Famer there. How worried and how concerned is everybody going to be with Travis Kelce? And you're going to leave Noah Gray down the seam.
All right, Gary, before Ross answers that, give me an answer here. What song should the Eagles run out to?
Let's go some Snoop. How about some gin and juice?
You got it, Gary. Appreciate it. It doesn't pump me up enough. It's an all-timer. It doesn't pump me up enough. Ross, what's the way for Vic Fangio to deploy his 11 players, you know, especially those on the back end, to deal with the complexities of what Kansas City can present?
Yeah, so that's actually a really good question also, you know, by the caller, because here's the thing. You know, the Eagles want to be in nickel the whole time, right? They love Cooper DeJean. They want to be in nickel. the Chiefs employ a lot of two and three tight end packages. So what you're really doing is, because he mentioned Noah Gray, okay, and he was talking about Noah Gray in the passing game, and Noah Gray is a competent player as well. But what I think is more interesting there is when they have multiple tight ends out there, you've got seven big bodies blocking. Cooper DeJean has to become a linebacker, right? Like he's
but he's great at that.
Well, right, but that I think it's interesting that the Eagles are going to stay in nickel. They're not bringing a third linebacker on, especially with N'Kobe Dean hurt. Yeah. They're going to stay in nickel. I think it puts him in a good spot because Andy Reid does not want to run the ball. It's not what he wants to do. And I think even though they could have an advantage trying to run right at Cooper, if he has to be like taking on tight ends, I don't think Andy will do it. Hmm. I do think they'll have a better plan for Kelsey than they did for Zach Ertz. You know, I mean,
I
thought Zach Ertz ate up the zone. I thought Zach Ertz, you know, he was covered man-to-man by Blankenship a number of times. I think a couple times it was Gardner Johnson.
They were okay with letting him catch the ball. They were okay with letting him have that stuff underneath, like, hey, all right.
And a lot of that was late when I felt like the game was over.
Okay, but listen, how many points did the Commanders score? 23?
Mm-hmm.
And they had four turnovers.
Yeah.
Like, people, we lose sight of that. They fumbled three times and threw a pick at the end, but they still scored 23 points. I know the Eagles won, but the Eagles won because the Eagles scored a lot and because of the turnovers. You can't let Travis Kelce, every third down, get the 8 yards necessary. I've heard a lot of Eagles fans, oh, they let him have that. Well, you can't let Travis Kelce just catch the ball whenever he wants for first downs. You'll never get him off the field.
I agree. All right, Ross Tucker with us for about another half hour or so here. John, you're the one person here who played in this game. What do you remember, John, about 10 minutes before kickoff? What the hell goes through your mind?
This was the only game I've ever been nervous for. That was going through my head. Like, what? How do I manage this?
Wow.
I've never felt this. I've never felt, not fear, but there's a difference between butterflies that you know are healthy, that you've always had, and whatever this is.
Wow.
This is the massive, the immense, just the gigantic nature of what the Super Bowl represents. I guess it hits everyone at a different time, at a different place, and in a different way. For me, it really was just a couple minutes before we were supposed to do the whole thing, where we were standing there on the sideline just waiting to play, and it felt like we'd been waiting for 6 hours. You know, it felt like the warm-ups were, what is this? Is the game over? And we're not even through warm-ups yet. It felt so different and It all went away. That's the thing I can't stress. Like, I can't believe how obvious it was. Like, just get out there and get hitting. Get that first hit under your belt, and it's just a game like all the rest. But, man, I don't know if it was, like, verge of anxiety, of verge of panic attack or what, but it's almost like you get this metallic taste in your mouth. Your ears are ringing. There's nothing but the focus on the immensity of what's about to take place. And then it's all fun again.
That's fascinating. It
Bam!
Really is.
And then it's
fun. Unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Ross is with us here for about 10 more minutes. Mike Quick, in 20 minutes, joins the show. All right, 215-592-9494. You know, Sirianni obviously is going to be coaching in his second Super Bowl. And I thought when Jeffrey Lurie was on with the NFL Network, he gave Sirianni a heck of an endorsement. He's going to give Sirianni a heck of a contract when this game's over, win or lose.
Well-deserved.
Yeah, well-deserved. Big endorsement here of Sirianni and the coaching staff that Sirianni and Howie. Sirianni and Howie James. Yeah, Sirianni and Howie.
I would go Howie and Sirianni, but yeah.
Had a hand putting together. Here's Jeffrey Lurie on the NFL Network. Nice endorsement of the coaches.
Nobody could have imagined that Zach Bond and Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean and Jalix Hunt and N'Kobe Dean would develop and Nolan Smith would develop. We all had those hopes and dreams, but a credit to the coaching because the coaching made our players so much better from September to January, and it's really a credit to Nick and the coaching staff. Acquisitions are great, but it's how they develop, and this coaching staff has done one incredible job of developing these players.
You know, Ross, I'll tell you this, man. I do think the Eagles are, I'll use the word, significantly better than they were in, forget September, I'll even say October. I mean, I think they've, I mean, look at a guy like Nolan Smith, Ross. I didn't believe in him till late November.
We didn't have reason to believe in him until, you know, later in the year.
I mean,
hadn't
Ross,
seen
they've,
much at all.
They've really improved, Ross.
They really have, and it's interesting. This is why it all goes together, right? Like, we can all say, okay, Nolan Smith looks like a good pick by Howie now, and Zach Bond was a good signing by Howie. Those things, and those are true. That doesn't happen without the coaching. Did you see where Stoutland said it was Sirianni's idea to move Becton to guard?
That was wild. That was absolutely wild. And really nice of Stoutland to go out of his way to say it.
Yes, that one didn't have to do that.
Correct.
But that shows you said earlier in the show about these guys like each other and they're supporting each other. Stoutland's no dummy. I think, you know, he knows he gets a lot of praise already and whatever, and everybody loves him. I think he, you know, and I think he's telling the truth, but I think he wanted people to know, hey, Sirianni's the one that thought Becton might work at right guard. By the way, this is why they have to win the game, right? Like, when you have the Midas touch in a season like this, where you bring in a guy like Bond to maybe be on special teams and an edge rusher, and he's a first-team All-Pro linebacker, you bring in Becton, who, like, Jets fans hate. Jets fans talk about Becton like we talk about Embiid sometimes.
You know, Rager. I mean, like, it's...
Right, yeah, exactly. And then Becton comes in, and he plays awesome. You have all of a sudden Nolan Smith. I talked to Nolan Monday night. You know Nolan played most of the last preseason game against the Vikings? I mean, it was like they didn't see it from him. I mean, he was a guy that they needed to see more. Now I believe he might lead the NFL in sacks this postseason. Guys get better. Obviously, it seems like Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean were pretty good right from the start.
I agree.
The coaches still give credit there, but those guys were good, like, getting off the bus. But, yes, I think the coaching staff deserves a tremendous amount of credit. And I would say the thing that we don't talk about enough is position coaches. I had nine offensive line coaches in my time in the NFL. There's a wide range. There were a couple that I thought helped us get better, helped us win games. There's a couple that I thought, man, these guys, there is no attention to detail. This guy is screwing up because you didn't tell him what to do, blah, 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 blah. And then I would say the rest of the guys were in the middle. Like, two guys that helped you win, two guys that were probably reasons why you lost, and then five guys that they were in the middle. Position coaches matter. And, I mean, most Eagles fans, I can't even name every Eagles position coach right now, but I would say almost across the board, those guys have done a really nice job
this year.
Yep. They have been a tremendously well-coached team.
Yeah, Ross, Steve Spagnuolo was a position coach for the Philadelphia Eagles back when I was a player. I think he was a linebacker coach 1 year and then a DB coach 1 year. And now he's doing things that are magnificent. Regularly, he's lighting teams up in such a timely fashion.
I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I've said that before. I don't think you have to be a head coach to be a Hall of Famer, and I would put Spags in the Hall. All right, let's go back to the phones. Ross with us. Your phone call is 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Steph in Drescher. Good morning, Steph.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great, Steph. How are you?
Fantastic. Hold on, Steph. Oh, she just dropped off.
That was my fault. I was putting Ross on.
We'll get Steph back. James, try to find her and get her back if we can get in touch with her. Let's get to Steve. He's calling from Willow Grove. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi,
and
Steve.
Joe, good morning, John. You made a comment earlier about, you know, you're looking for your dynasty. Well, this is the start of our dynasty.
I mean, I'm not even saying dynasty, just two in a row, like an era. Because to me, dynasty starts with three. And while that would be great, that is extremely ambitious, although it's what Kansas City has a shot to do in a row.
Right, and that'll happen here because we have Barkley, we got a quarterback. He just needs to sign the tight end, and he just needs to sign this linebacker who's coming back home to play. Did anybody mention he's coming back home to play in his home, you know, his original team?
Yeah,
and him and Chauncey.
He's going to light it up like no other. So it'll be great. And this is easy. We got this. It's no problem.
Well, hold on. What's easy?
The game.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Joe, we're going to win. Relax. The only pressure is you scoring a 5-0 in under 41 seconds on Friday.
That's well, it's easier for me to win beat the hammer than it is for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
Well,
that's a given.
Your best time is 41 seconds, so you have to score the Super Bowl.
That's what I do.
But I got a question for Ross. Ross, who do you think will be the offensive coordinator for the Eagles next year?
You can worry about that
later. Oh, man. Yeah. That is a really, really interesting question. I got to be honest with you. I haven't even gone there yet, and I also don't know how they feel about the guys internally.
Can I say the answer, Ross? The answer is Frank Reich.
Wow.
Frank Reich is brought back into the NFL, unlikely to be a head coach, but still at a young enough age. He still wants to coach another 5 to 7 years.
I love that.
Sirianni throws them the lifeline.
You got him as OC and Fangio as DC.
They have the conversation about the roles flipping. Sirianni is now in charge, and Frank has to report
to me.
And he can do it, and they won a Super Bowl with him. Frank Reich is the next offensive coordinator, and he's available. He's not working for anybody. He's the guy.
Perfect.
Yep.
So that's interesting. I would just say the only thing I would say is, you know, Frank Reich has a different system than Kellen Moore. So then, you know, you're going to have Jalen have to learn something else as opposed to...
Well, maybe Frank Reich should learn something else. You know, Sirianni wasn't doing this when he was with Philip Rivers. You know, like maybe the coordinator learns to do it a different way.
It doesn't matter, guys, because we have the best quarterback, okay?
All right, Steve, I need an answer from you, my man.
All right, so listen, here.
What song?
I'm lining it up, Joe, okay?
Yep.
First, it's Brandon Graham and Lane Johnson walking out first out of the tunnel.
Yep.
And then the music comes on. Iron Man, Black Sabbath.
All right, Steve, you got it, man. Appreciate the phone call. All right, coming up in 1 minute, Ross Tucker's prediction for Super Bowl 59.
Whether you are a weekend warrior or competing at a high level, you are an athlete with goals, and NovaCare Rehabilitation is here for you. NovaCare's Select Sports Center of Excellence, they are specialty locations focused on the needs of athletes. So if you're injured, NovaCare will help you get back to playing your sport. They will also help you prevent injuries from happening. NovaCare will prepare you to compete at your highest level of performance. At all Select Sports Center of Excellence, athletes are treated for their specific injury, training needs, and goals. Most importantly, care is provided by sports-specific physical therapists using advanced training and technology. For more than 30 years, NovaCare has long been the trusted Delaware Valley and South Jersey leader in physical therapy, hand therapy, and sports medicine. Select Sports Center of Excellence, just one more way NovaCare is meeting your needs. Also, tune into the WITP Morning Show for your chance to win an autographed Eagles jersey courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, so Ross Tucker with us here, Mike Quick, in 10 minutes. Ross, let's cut you loose with the big question, sir, Super Bowl 59. Who wins the game?
All right, so let me preface this by saying...
I don't like all right is my first thing I hear. I mean,
didn't love it.
What does all right mean? Are we picking the Chiefs? What are we doing? All right, go ahead.
Listen.
Listen is also a bad first...
We are off to a really bad start.
Listen, you're in coach talk
mode. You sound like you're apologizing.
We got an all right and a listen out of the gate. What are you, Andy Reid? All right, go ahead.
When someone asks me for my prediction... In a football game, I always give them what I objectively think is the most likely scenario.
Understood.
Definitely, by the way, not what I'm hoping to necessarily happen.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I think it is hard to pick the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, over the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, in a one-score game. I think the Eagles, to win, it has to be like 34-23, or at least be 31-20 late in the game, right? Maybe the Chiefs get a score, but the Eagles are up two scores with 3 minutes to go or 2 minutes to go. I truly believe that's what an Eagles victory looks like. That said, I think if these teams played 10 times, I think most of the games would be close games, and I think that the Chiefs would win more than their fair share because that's what they do. And right or wrong, it's an uncanny ability to win the close games. I will go 27-24 Chiefs, and this way, I'm either right or I'm happy.
No, yeah. No hedging here,
hold on,
Ross.
Hold on. Ross, I respect you. I don't agree with you, but I want you to know I do respect you because there are a lot of people around here that I don't even think are open-minded to picking KC, and I respect
you. Who will never forgive you for that? So.
No.
All right, I'm going to give you one.
I'm joking.
Guys one other note. This could be the difference in the game, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not only Saquon Barkley and Cooper DeJean's birthday on Sunday. My daughter, Tess Tucker, is turning 13 on Sunday, and late last week she said, Daddy, can you please take me to the Super Bowl for my birthday? So I will be in the stands at the game because I'm not working the game or calling the game. I will be in Eagles gear cheering my butt off, and if the Eagles win, it's because it's Tess Tucker's birthday and Daddy is taking her to the game.
Well, I love that, Ross, and I don't want to minimize it, but I'm going to top you. Bill Burgi's first birthday in heaven. Bill Burgi.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Wow.
Bill Burgi's first birthday in heaven.
I love that.
That's why the Eagles win.
We got a lot going for us Sunday.
It's pretty cool. Hey, Ross, great stuff, man, all year. Obviously, we'll talk to you next week, but enjoy the festivities down there and enjoy the game, man. And that's wonderful you're going to be able to take your daughter. That's really special.
And I didn't know that about Burgi. I'm changing my prediction. 48-10 Eagles.
You got it, man. Ross, stay well, buddy.
All
right, there he is, Ross. Thanks, Tucker. Ross. All right, that's good stuff. Let's listen to, I want to get some Sirianni said because he talked yesterday in the press conference, and I think he's doing a really nice job in the way he's, look, we know over the last couple months he's gotten better at presenting himself, and obviously for the nation, they don't barely ever see these press conferences unless he kind of says something John Goofy, you know, earlier past years. So now is the time when the nation is seeing, because, you know, these things pop up on ESPN and pop up on Fox. They pop up in ways that the regular weekly press conferences don't, and they're happening daily now. Sirianni talked yesterday about an aspect of his approach as a leader. I thought he comes off real good here. I hope the nation realizes he's not a joke, as a lot of people think. Here's Sirianni yesterday.
If you start to be somebody and act like somebody that you're not, I think the players see through that. You have to be genuine and you have to be who you are because, shoot, I'm in here a heck of a lot more than I'm at home. And so at some point, if I'm not being true to myself while still growing, then they're going to know, you know, that I'm being a fraud. So I think it's just so important that you stay true to yourself and you grow. I ask the players to try to get better every single day. And that's what I try to do as well. And that can be from anything from, you know, I think there's a time to show your emotion and there's a time not to show your emotion. I think I've gotten better at that as the years have went on. But to say I'm going to stop being excited when we score a touchdown, all the work, or stop being excited after a win with everything that we lay on the line to do so, or that I'm not going to yell to correct or yell to praise That's just not who I am.
Nick Sirianni presenting himself on the national level. I'd be really interested. How does the person in Florida hear that? What do they think? I don't know. I mean, I legitimately don't know, but I know this. I'm impressed. I've been very impressed. Let's go to the phones. Steph in Drescher. Steph, I apologize that we got disconnected. Go ahead, Steph.
That's okay. Hey, y'all. Good morning. As you can say, hear from the y'all, I've been in New Orleans 12 years. Despite growing up in Philly, diehard Eagles fan, been chasing the team around the city the last couple of days, but called in to tell Joe that it's not New Orleans. You will be made. It's not New Orleans. It's New Orleans. You will be made fun of if you say New Orleans when you're here, or Nolens, or any other variation you want to come up with.
How about the Bayou?
Hold on, So Nolens is made fun of?
Yes.
Oh,
we
wow.
Think, like, if you hear Nolens, it's just because of people's Southern accent. It's not Nolens. It's New Orleans, not New Orleans, not Nolens. New Orleans is the only way to say it.
New Orleans.
Well, honest to God, Steph, I don't even, like, I'm not joking. I don't even know what I'm saying when I'm saying it. I think I say it both ways.
I can tell, which is why I called in.
Yeah. Like, as Chris Webber...
You got a lot of Eagles fans floating around this city.
Well, I know. Remember, Chris Webber famously said he's amphibious. And that's the way I feel. And you know, I can shoot with either hand. Remember that, John, when he was trying to say ambidextrous and he said amphibious?
Yes.
It was great.
Way off with that.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway,
now Steph, can check you and make sure you say New Orleans so that you don't offend.
I know.
There's no way Joe can learn.
Well, I don't care about offending people. Yeah, offending people is not my concern. My concern is doing a good show and the Eagles winning. That's all I care about.
There we go. Well, doing a good show is pronouncing New Orleans right.
Well, thank you.
That's a big part of it, isn't it?
Yeah. This is good stuff. All right, Steph.
It's a culture thing.
Steph, what song should the Eagles run out to?
This might be a hot take, but what about Crazy Town? I feel like it gets people, you know, Ozzy Osbourne gets people so hyped at the Flyers games.
Yep.
Could be interesting to see it used for the Eagles.
All right, you got it, Steph. My only issue with that is that which doesn't work for the Flyers. You know what I'm saying, John? I don't know. I don't need
a
Flyers tie-in right now.
Yeah, maybe the song from 74 or 75, yeah. that we could go with.
Maybe Kate Smith and God Bless America. maybe that song. All right, so Mike Quick joins us in 1 minute. We'll get Mike's breakdown of Super Bowl 59 coming up in 1 minute. All right, show the camera here. Isn't it time for you to invest in yourself? I certainly say it is. So how about you get yourself to PI Dental Center, located in Fort Washington, with their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, of which I have been a patient for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades. Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both sensational with what they do. Both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. Let me break this all down and make it very simple for you. You got a big old problem? They got a big old solution. Bottom line, you got a problem, they got a solution, but you got to get yourself there. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation.
Mike Quick, sponsored by the Bet Parks online casino and sportsbook app. New users get up to $1,000 in casino bonus back. BetParks.com for the details. You must be 21. And in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, for a good chunk of Merrill Reese's career, he was side-by-side with a great Eagle, offensive lineman, Stan Walters. And, of course, during those years, Eagles weren't making many Super Bowls. But since Mike Quick got involved, not one, not two, not three, but for the fourth time in his broadcasting career, Mike Quick on Sunday will call a Super Bowl. It'll be Super Bowl 59, and the great Mike Quick joins us right now. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning. How's everybody?
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I'm pumped up. Mike, I'm happy for you and Merrill. Devin, obviously, on the sideline for the game. I'm excited for the whole city. I mean, what an opportunity. And, Mike, you know the deal, man, because you've done 04 and you did 22. You know when the team loses, it's just, I mean, this isn't breaking news. It's just totally different than 17. I mean, what an opportunity for these guys, Mike. What an opportunity.
Yeah, it's really special. You know, these young guys, they're so excited that they'll have this opportunity. And when you're young in the game, sometimes you feel like that this is the norm. And it really is not. Although, if you look at what the Eagles organization have been able to do over the past few years, you could start to get that sense. But it's a very special time for all of us to enjoy this. And so many fans, so many people that have poured so much into this organization, into this team. And right now we get to reap the benefits.
Mike, you were paying close attention to this team, you know, while they were at 57, now at 59, different story, but we're playing the same team. Last time we played the Chiefs, Andy Reid beat us in part because he ran the football with Isaiah Pacheco. Is that something that we need to be prepared for again this time? But I think the irony for me as a player who I loved Andy Reid, but I never felt like he ran the ball enough, to see him run the ball to an effective degree in the Super Bowl against us was so troubling. Is that what we're in line for again?
I remember how in that second half of that game, how Pacheco started to take over the game.
Yes.
Running the ball and
with his feet like pistons,
we
could do nothing to stop it.
Yeah, we weren't ready for it. I just think it's a totally different makeup of this roster now. The way they play the game defensively is different now. I just don't see them being Kansas City, being able to win the game that way against this defense.
Yeah,
this is a totally. It's a totally different approach to playing defense the way these guys go about it. And I think when you look at Kansas City, they're made up differently. They're not the explosive team that they were. They do have the ability to run the ball, but I just don't think they match up that well in the trenches that they will be able to beat the Eagles in the trenches. And for me, that's where it all begins.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing to me that they've got so much movement up front. The left tackle, the guy who's protecting this quarterback, who has to do a great job, is a guard by trade. How difficult is it for a guard to play tackle?
Well, I tell you this. I know when you move Joe Tooney out to left tackle rather than playing guard where he's been an all-pro or pro bowler, I would trust Andy Reid because he's such a good evaluator of talent, especially at the offensive line. You know, in Philadelphia, and Howie, the way he started to build his offenses, build his defenses from the inside out, he got that from Andy Reid. So Andy Reid knows how to put together an offensive line. So I would say that he's going to have his best five. And so if you're going to move Tony outside, you know that he's among the best five that Andy can put on the field. So I trust Andy there. But I just don't believe when you put it all together, I don't think that they are as talented up front as the Eagles are defensively. And that's what I'm hanging my hat on.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, Mike. Good. I do. Mike, obviously a big part of this game is going to be Jalen. He was phenomenal 2 years ago, just phenomenal.
Yes.
It's been a ride since then, up and down, a couple different ways. You know him in ways we don't at all. What do you think his mindset is? I mean, he's going to play in this game again, and this one in 4 days. Take us inside the Jalen that perhaps you know in a way that's obviously different than us.
Well, don't forget, Jalen was somehow someone caught the screensaver of Jalen long after the Super Bowl where he had the confetti falling because he wanted to remember that moment when they lost that game 2 years ago. So this is an opportunity for him to really get back something that he thought that they should have won 2 years ago. And I think in big games, he plays really well. And I think he's going to be sharp in big games. We remember how well he played in that game against Kansas City 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was the best player on the field. And I'm kind of expecting that sort of play out of Jalen on Sunday night.
Yeah.
I do. I just think that he recognizes now that with Saquon, this offense is going to a different level. With this offensive line, they can handle anything that comes their way. And Jalen has to be Jalen and be spot on with his decision-making, with where he decides to go with the football. And I expect Jalen to play the type of game that he played 2 years ago in the Super Bowl.
Mike, the Chiefs, that defense under Spags, people don't quite give it credit for being a run-stuffing defense, but they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher in the postseason under Spags. You know, and you have to go back all the way to week one when Lamar Jackson went over 100 on them for anyone to get that achievement this year. Yep. What's the likelihood they're able to really slow us down on the ground? I don't feel like I even consider that possibility.
Well, I'm like you. I don't consider that possibility because I look at this offensive line and how effective they've been. I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs have seen an offensive line like they're going to see on Sunday night.
Right, right.
I respect Spag, and I think he's one of the best there is. He's won 4 Super Bowls. He's one of the best there is in putting together a game plan and making the adjustments on the fly. But in the final analysis, it boils down to the personnel. And personnel-wise, I just don't think that they have enough to stop this offense from running the ball, from moving the ball on the ground.
Mm-hmm. We have, I have the expectation, and I agree with you on that, I have the expectation that we're going to see really interesting stuff from Andy Reid. I don't think we'll see unique and exotic stuff from Kellen Moore. What about Vic Fangio? Is it in Vic Fangio's bag of tricks to even have a bag of tricks, Mike?
Oh, yeah. No, Vic's got some tricks. It'll be really subtle. He's not going to tip his hand. He's going to show you that quarters backing or that umbrella over the top of the defense. And then pre-snap, he'll start to move people around. And post-snap, you'll start to see guys in different places. And so Mahomes is going to have to try and figure out what they're doing on the back end. If they're able to take away those early reads from Patrick Mahomes, because they want to get the ball out quickly. If you look at what they've been doing, it's a lot of the RPO game where the ball comes out right now.
Mm-hmm.
If the Eagles and Vic, I do believe, will be able to take away some of those, that's when Mahomes runs into problems, when you're able to take away that first read. Because they'll line up and show you a look, and at the snap, they move to something else where they're able to, you know, drop an end guy in coverage and take away that hook flat zone area. And then what do you do if you're Patrick Mahomes? And that's what I think they're going to be faced with.
Well, Mike, let's talk a little bit more, and Mike Quick with us here, a little bit more about Mahomes. Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Mike, you've seen, you know, about 50 years of football, obviously going back to when you were a kid. Twitter poll question, is Patrick Mahomes the best football player ever? What's your answer to that, Mike?
What? Is there such a thing?
I don't know. I mean, the rules have changed. Jim Brown, Unitas, Montana, Brady, Jerry Rice, Mahomes. Who is
it? In the ultimate team sport, there is no single person that is the best ever.
Interesting way to put it. Well, let me throw this at you. Is the challenge like facing Michael Jordan? Like, and I'm serious. Like, I got a great team. I think I might have a better roster than the Bulls, but they got Michael Jordan. Is that the type of challenge that it represents, that he represents?
I would say yes, because he just has been able to find so many different ways to win. He's not a big scrambler runner, but in big games like this, he will become a scrambler and runner. He wants to operate from the pocket, but in games like this, he'll pull out all the stops. And yes, he is a great football player, and yes, you have to be cognizant of what he's going to do, what his capabilities are at all times. And yeah, he's more than a generational player. He's just a great, great football player.
Yeah. Don't you feel like our quarterback, when he pulls out all the stops in this game, will have an added layer of complexity like to his game also, to where it's going to be even harder to stop Jalen when he knows he doesn't have to save anything for the next week, when the coaching staff knows they don't have to protect him because the adrenaline will do that. This game is everything, empty the tank. Jalen Hurts.
That's exactly right.
Man, I'm so excited to see that.
You take the entire playbook and you throw it at him. Exactly what you just said. You empty the tank. You do everything in your power to bring this thing home.
Yep.
Do you think
that
means?
Wait to see what that looks like.
I love that.
I'm clapping in my studio right now.
Think about how dominant that can look with this roster.
Mike, does that mean more running from Jalen? Because usually when we talk about not emptying the tank, it's preserving his body for the next week and the next three months or the next 5 years. Does it mean running more?
But there is no tomorrow. So if there's if there's an opportunity to run, you run. Wherever you can make hay, you make sure that you do it.
Yeah, unless you're Cam Newton and you don't fall on the football with a couple minutes left in the Super Bowl and you let the other team get it. What a joke that was. I mean, James, that seriously cost him a Super Bowl and part of a legacy.
Yeah, a big part of a legacy. Yeah. It's one of the first things.
He's like, I don't want to get hurt jumping on the ball.
He was the MVP that year, went 15-1, got to the Super Bowl, and it's the first thing people say about that
year. And Jalen would fall on that ball, no question. I mean,
Jalen would die to fall. He would literally die at the bottom of the pile if he had to.
Yeah, that one bothered me on Cam. All right. Mike, I brought this up last week, and you perhaps are the best person left on our program to do this through here. Do you agree with me that if the Eagles win, they should hoist Sirianni up the way NFL coaches used to be lifted up, you know, a generation ago and frequently back in the day? And then if you do agree with it, can you talk to a guy to talk to a guy to talk to a guy to spread the word to the players so that they do it?
I don't even think you have to go that far. I think that that's probably in the cards. If Nick Sirianni is able to get this team to win on Sunday night, yeah, I could see that. I think that would be appropriate.
Do you know something we don't know? You said in the cards. Are you saying it's already being discussed? Because I asked Brandon Graham last week to put this to the guys in the locker room. Do you know a little something extra we don't know?
No, I just believe that that's kind of the way it goes.
Hasn't for 30 years. I think Holmgren in 96 was the last one. I mean, these guys weren't alive when that happened.
I've never seen a coach carried. I've never carried a coach.
Well, you never won a Super Bowl, John.
No, you're right, but I've won a lot of games. I've played in a lot of postseason
games. This ain't Friday Night Lights. You know, this isn't a, you know, October, you know, football game in the NFL. This is the freaking Super Bowl. I'll tell you this, Mike. I do think it'd be really cool, and I think he deserves it. I really do.
I'm glad that you've come around. And yes, I absolutely, everything is a possibility. If they win this thing, then it's just a celebration. And whatever happens, it's all in the all in the realm of the celebration.
I love it. Your phone zapped out for one sec, Mike, but we got enough of it. All right, Mike, final thing here, as we do with every guest. We're looking, sir, for a Mike, your prediction, Super Bowl 59.
I predict a parade on Broad Street.
Wow, that is, my God. God bless you.
Yes, God bless you, Mike. What I'm talking about right there.
I think you just won drop of the week. I'm just saying, that's great. All right, Mike, well done. Hey, all kidding aside, all everything aside, Seltzer's like 30 seconds late with the applause.
Well, I had to turn the drum. There's the drum. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Just own it. You screwed up. Not a big deal. Just move on. Screw it up. Mike, have a great broadcast, man. I'm really, I mean, you and, you know, Merrill and obviously Devin on the sidelines, it's, you know, you're going to have way, way extra people listening to you this week. So good luck with it, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike, stay well.
Can't wait to hear you.
There he is.
The
great Mike Quick. How cool is that? 215-592-9494. By the way, Devin not on our show today. She typically is on Wednesdays. There is a special later today. I mean, I say special, just all sorts of extended Super Bowl coverage of which she's doing a show later today. I don't know if that's from here or down there. I'm a little spun around, but that's why she's not with us today. She'll be on later tonight. I believe it's later tonight.